Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Now, in fact, let's go there, Dave, and then we'll come back here and we'll get these last couple of verses. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 4, 5, and 6, and let's just see a little bit of this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, how many lords do we have?
One.
Well, there's one. And you shall love that Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Now, what did he leave out there?
Nothing,
absolutely nothing. You are to love him and put him first, right?
Right.
Now, how many people do you know that really do that? Not many. Not very many. Let's see what he says do after he says for us to love him with all our heart. What's he say in verse 6 and 7? And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Verse 7. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them flippantly to your children. Diligently unto your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You're to talk about the TV show you watched last night, huh? Well, that's not what he's talking about, is it? What are you supposed to talk about? The Lord God. When are you supposed to talk about him?
All the time.
Oh, that pretty well covers all of it, don't it?
All
the time. In other words, and how many people do you know when you go to their house, say, can we pray over the meal? They say, we don't do religion in our home. I thought y'all went to church. Well, we do, but we go to church, but we don't pray at home. We do that in church. Let me tell you, that home is in big trouble.
Big trouble.
And that's why we got all these people that write us all the time and want us to pray and see a miracle in their young teenage children's life. They want us to cast out the devils. They said, my son, my grandson, he's got to have a devil. Will you please cast the devil out of him? He wouldn't have that devil if daddy and mama was loving each other and reading the word of God to him every night like God told them to do. Isn't that something? What God say do? And you shall teach them diligently these words unto your children, and you shall talk of these words when you sitteth in your house. You shall talk of these words when you walk by the way, when you're out for a walk with your children, and when you lie down at night, you should pray over your children, talk about the word of God to your children, and when you rise up in the morning, the first thing you should rise up praising the King. You do these kind of things for your children, guess how many bad children you're going to have in your home?
Zero.
Zero. That's exactly right. If you walk with God and you're a living example of God, if you do exactly what God told you to do in His Word, I guarantee the King will raise 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, however children you got, He will raise good ones. He'll raise good ones. But if they don't ever hear the word, and all they hear is the television and the junk of the world and what's going on, hey, you're going to raise some little devils. Is that right? That's what you're going to have, little devils. Now, do you want a little devil living in your home? Or would you like to have a little Christian living in your home? Ooh, I'd like to have a little Christian. I love it. I love it whenever, just like little John the other day, I got to pull his string just a minute, Dave's oldest boy. I said something about hating something. Here he is sitting up here in the front row. I said something about hating, and he said, Pastor, my daddy said we need to not use the word hate. I said, well, that's a good deal. That's probably true. But I said, John, you know, there is one thing in God's word he said we can hate. Do you know what it is? And he didn't even have to think. He said sin. I mean, just like that. Here he is, 4.5 years old. Not even 5 years old, and he knows what God says we're to hate. It's sin. Now, how many four-year-olds do you know that know those kind of things? Very few. Very few. But see, if you're teaching your children about God, if they're listening to God's word, if you bring your children and set them up here on the front row and make them behave and listen to the pastor for an hour and a half, they're going to learn something. Is that right, Scott? They can't sit here for an hour and a half and not hear something. They may not get it all, but they're going to get something. And you know what so many people want to do to your 2s and 3-year-olds? Want to put them back in the nursery and let somebody play with them, get them out of your hair, where you don't have to take care of them. But they're hearing the Word of God. I mean, you know, technically, if you're pregnant and you're a mother and you're pregnant with a child, you should be reading the Word of God over that child in your womb. You know that? They're hearing. they hear. You want that child to come out speaking in tongues? Just read them the Word of God while they're in there. You might be amazed what God might do by filling them with the Holy Ghost and power. Okay, let's go back to Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 12 or 13 and 14. I think there's two more verses after that, I think. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. Now, what do you think God's going to do with all that abundance that the heathen have hoarded up? What do you think he's going to do with it? He's going to give it to the Christians. Of course he is. Is there another verse after this in Dave? I forgot how many verses it was. I read this several times, but And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now then, I quoted that verse to a PhD in a Baptist seminary one time. I told him, I said, you know, in the end times when Jesus comes back, after he comes to this earth, he will reestablish the Feast of Tabernacles. And I said, every nation that does not come to Jerusalem to bow down before him, I said, he will give them no rain. And this PhD says, Thurman, you've lost your mind. He said, there's not going to be, he said, when Jesus came and he did everything he did, he fulfilled all those feasts and he's never going to have those feasts again. And I thought, one of us, I don't know what I'm misreading here, but what do you get out of this? And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem. In other words, he's going to leave a few, right? He's not going to annihilate all of them. He's going to leave a few people to go into the millennium. So he says, and all those that are left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Is that what it said? Okay, so after the end days, whenever all of us have come against Jerusalem, and Israel has, Jerusalem has been wiped out because of her sins, the Lord is going to do a great and mighty work here, and all the people then that he comes against and annihilates multitudes, who knows how many million, there's going to be some left. But now he's going to be here, and he's going to be walking in the streets of Jerusalem. He's going to have his temple over there, and he's going to say, the Feast of Tabernacles this year is on this date. It's always in the fall. And he says, all nations must send a representative to me to see me, and you must represent your country. Egypt, the United States, or whatever nations are left, you know, you have to send a group of delegates over to worship me, or I ain't going to send you no rain. Let's see what it says in the next couple of verses. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be
no rain.
Now then, I don't know whether I lost my mind or I was just quoting the scripture, but that's what I was trying to do to this PhD in the Baptist seminary when I told him there's going to be a Feast of Tabernacles. Did I misread that, Tom? Does it say that? And if you don't come over and send a delegation of people over to worship the King and bow down before him, how much rain is your nation going to get next year? So we're going to have a group of people, you know, if it was today, Obama and Hillary, they said, we ain't going over and bow down before Netanyahu. We're going to tell him what to do. And the Lord will say, oh, okay, if you're not going to bow down to my man, then I just won't send the United States of America no rain at all next year. What kind of trouble do you think we would be in a year if there wasn't a drop of water fall over here?
A big one.
Isn't that something? Now, who do you think can control that rain? You know, I can remember back when I was a kid on the farm. When I was a young boy, I mean, I don't mind plowing with a tractor now, but back in those days, you know, when you're 16 years old, you always got something else to do besides plow. When Dad says, son, go plow that 50 acres, you think, oh, gosh, Daddy, can't you do it? I want to do this, or I got to work. I want to do something. Lord, Daddy. No, he says, son, today you go plow the field. Okay, so I go over to that place, and I get on that old tractor, and I start going around those 50 acres, you know, and I'm going around, and of course, I look off out yonder about far and here at that wall, and there's a great big old rock, and I thought, well, I don't want to run over that rock, and I'm driving around that field, and directly I run over that rock, and I don't even remember. Nothing happened between here and there. Is my mind there? No, what am I doing? I'm thinking about something else, but yet I'm holding that tractor in the rut. I'm going around plowing that field, and when it wakes me up, I think, Lord, I really don't want to be out here. Now, Lord, I know so little about your word, but my mama's taught me a lot about your word. She says I can pray and ask you for things and you'll do it. I said, Lord, I really don't want to be out here plowing. I know you know my heart. I'd like to be doing something. Would you send a good rain on this field so make it all muddy so I don't have to plow? Now, any of you guys ever done anything like this before when you were a kid? And it clouded up and came a beautiful hard rain, and the furrows flowed full of water. And I just barely did get out of the field. And I got home and I pulled up in front of the house, and it's about 3 miles around to the house. And when I got around to where the house, Daddy said, son, well, you can't be through that field yet. I said, no, Daddy, come a big rain over. Son, don't tell me it come a rain over there. He said, we're only 3 miles and I ain't seen a cloud in the sky. He said, it's clear it didn't rain. I said, Daddy, I promise you it rained. It's muddy. He said, get back in that car. We're going over there and I'm going to watch you plow that field. We go over there and we pull. I said, Daddy, I'm telling you, I'm not lying, Daddy. It rained. And we got over there and he says, I ain't believing this. I ain't believing this. That's the way I started out my praying. I'm not sure that's right or wrong. But God heard my prayer and he made it rain on that little 50 acres. You know what I mean? That little 50 acres. Now, can God make it rain anywhere he wants to?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, The Day of the Lord is Coming, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.